Amen. Thank you for that song. It's a beautiful song. Do they see Jesus in me? That's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Does the world truly see Jesus in me? John chapter 1, John chapter 1, as we're going through this series that in the book of John chapter 1 about the seven titles that John refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we looked at the first title, and that is that Jesus is the Word. And of course our theme this year is He is greater than I. And this chapter really goes right along with it because of who Jesus is. And we saw last week that He is greater than I because He is the Word. And the Word is God. But in verse number 4, we'll begin reading. In verse number 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, we do ask that You would just meet with us this morning. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to think about that question that was so sung beautifully this morning. Do they see Jesus in me? And Lord, I pray You'd help us as Christians to have that desire that those around us would see the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. Lord, just bless the message now, use it to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as John is giving these different names, of course, the first one we find is that he is the Word. There are four essentials, really, for human life. Anybody know what the four essentials for human life are? In other words, you have to have these four things. Anybody know? There are four essentials to human life. Air is one. Water is one. What? Light is one. One more. We're all thinking about it this afternoon at 12 o'clock, right? What happens at 12? That's like food, right? Everybody's like, come on, preacher, you know, come on. Food's coming up next, right? It's hard to compete with food. Those are four essentials to human life, right? You have to have light, you have to have food, you have to have air, you have to have water. Right, those are four essentials, and we don't have time this morning. Really, it could be a whole nother message in and of itself, or even a series of messages. But if you take all four of those things, those essentials to life, and you go through the book of John, you know what you'll find? That Jesus Christ is those four things. He's all four of those things. Why? Notice what it says in verse number 4. We talked about this last week. In Him was life. In Him was life. But as we saw last week, Jesus is the Word. This morning, we find one of those essentials is the title that John gives to Jesus Christ. Notice he says, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. The light. The second title that John gives to Jesus is that he is the light. He is the Word. We saw that in verses 1 through 4. But now we see through this chapter here, through verse number 14, that Jesus is the light. Light is important. I think we could all agree with that, right? Especially if you have kids that like to play with Legos or matchbox cars or anything sharp, right? How many of you have been walking through the house at night and you don't want to turn the light on because you don't want to wake anybody up, or you don't want to wake the dog up, or, you know, you're just trying to sneak through the house quietly, and what you failed to realize was that your kids decided to pull out the Legos and scatter them all across the hallway floor, or the matchbox cars, or the knives that they got out of the kitchen, because that's really what it feels like that they put on the floor. And you're trying to walk as carefully as you can, and then you put your foot down and it's like, and you don't want to scream because you're trying not to wake anybody up, and you don't want to turn the light on because you don't want to wake anybody up, but it's just like, I'm going to kill them, right? I mean, you know, light is pretty important, right? It's pretty important. It'd be a whole lot better to be able to see where we're going, not to step on those things. Without the sun, everything would die. Without light. You see, light brings life. Light and darkness are recurring themes throughout the book of John. And of course, the contrast is that God is light and that Satan is the power of darkness. Since the fall, man has been in darkness. When God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he told them the consequences that day if they ate would be that they would die. Not referring to their physical death that day, although they would eventually die, but a spiritual death. They are now in darkness. They are separated from God. And it is only God who even gives them the ability to have light. In fact, he tells them, he gives them a promise here, a glimpse of hope, a glimpse of light, that there would be a Messiah one day that would come to be able to take away the sin of the world. He speaks about that Messiah coming through the seed of a woman, the virgin birth. But since the fall, man has been in darkness, but God continues to shine light to men. God continues to reveal himself to man. God has done this, whether it's from the beginning when God told Adam and Eve that there would be a Messiah, or whether it was even after God destroyed the world and God told Noah that there would be a deliverer that would come, or when God called Abraham. God has always said there is going to be light. There is going to be someone who is going to come to give light. He continues to reveal himself to try to turn people from darkness to the light. But instead, men turn from the truth. They turn from the light. Why? Well, the Bible again tells us in John chapter 3, in verse number 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. God says that light came into the world. Of course, John's referring to that light as being Jesus Christ, and light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Have you ever been in a place, maybe you've gone out to a cabin, or maybe you've been gone into someone's home, or maybe they haven't been there for a while or something, and you switched on the light, and you have these little critters, maybe about that long. They're kind of brown and black. They got little legs and little antennas sticking out, and as soon as you flip on the light, they just scurry, and they try to find the darkness, right? You know what I'm talking about? Cockroaches? Yeah. Anybody like to eat cockroaches? Well, there are parts of the world that they do that, you know. Only they're not that big. They're more like that big. Isn't that great? Wouldn't it be great to find that in your house? You turn on the light, and there's a cockroach like 6 inches long in your house. I'd move. I'd move. That's right. Yeah. But here's this darkness, right? And this is what he says. That men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But notice what he says in verse number 4. The life, in him was life, and the life, of course, is Jesus Christ, was the light of men. Jesus Christ came to offer life, but you cannot have life until you have light. And only Jesus Christ can give you life. You see, without light, we are spiritually dead. We're simply walking in darkness. And so John, again, his desire is that men and women would know Christ. John believes that Jesus is the Christ. He believes that he's the Son of God. And he wants people to know him. That's why he's writing this book. He's the apostle is writing the gospel record here. And of course, we know in John chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Again, the name is so important and why John refers to the Lord Jesus so often. And as we saw last week, just in chapter 1, Jesus is referred to over 70 times just in the first chapter. And then throughout the book. Why? Because John wants people to know who Jesus is. And John begins to explain that not only is Jesus the Word, again, remember the Word was something that both the Jews and the Gentiles and the Greeks understood, but now he helps us to understand as well, making sure that everybody knows who Jesus is, that he is the light. Everybody understands, everybody knows without light you cannot have life. Without light nothing grows, that you can't grow food. And so Jesus is the light. But what is the purpose of light? What is the purpose? Light dispels darkness, right? If you turn the light on, then you now have light and there's no longer darkness that is there. Light helps to give life. It helps things to grow. Have you ever done one of those little science projects with your kids or something where they're trying to grow something and you put it in the window? You'll notice that as it grows, it moves toward the light. Why? Because that light is what is helping to give it life. And so light dispels the darkness. It brings life. But I want you to notice here, the light shines in the darkness because the light wants to bring light to men who cannot see. He wants to bring light to men and women who are trapped in darkness. This is why John tells us in verse number 9, notice what he says here. That was the true light, and notice this, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God says that every person that is born has light revealed unto them. Every person. Now, I mentioned this earlier in the first service, I don't know how many times I've read through the book of John and I've never noticed this verse before. I've used other passages of Scripture, but John says every single person, again, notice what he says here, that was the true light which lighteth, and what are those next two words? Every man that cometh into the world. John says every person that is born with that knowledge, that light, that there is a God. Every person. Not only through light, but even through creation, they are able to see that there is a God. They can see his handiwork. And so God is saying that the purpose is he is shining the light in darkness because he's trying to draw men out of the darkness. He's trying to bring light to them so that they can escape the darkness. And again, understanding that darkness is the power of Satan. Satan is trying to keep them in darkness. And so he says he's trying to shine this light to them in their heart through creation, through the Word of God. It all testifies of Jesus Christ. It all testifies to the light because Jesus Christ wants nothing more than men and women and boys and girls and teenagers to come to him and be saved from their sin. 2 Peter 3:9 very clearly tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is for every single person to be saved. So that light is shining on them. That light is there, but it's up to them to decide what they will do with the light. Just as you flip a light switch on and those cockroaches or other insects, they have a decision to make. Are they going to stay in the light? Or are they going to scatter and find darkness? We have a decision to make. So John is explaining the purpose of the light coming. He says in verse number 7 that all men through him might believe. That he's trying to point people to the light so that they can have life through Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice the second thing here. And here is where I think John is confused, or maybe the word confused isn't the right word, perplexed, maybe. not confused in what he's writing, but confused or perplexed in what happens with the light. When the light shines in the darkness, notice what does it say? And the light, verse number 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. The word comprehend there means to understand, to grasp a hold of something. So he's saying that the light is shining in darkness, but the darkness is not understanding why the light is shining. The darkness is not comprehending it. They're not grasping why the light is shining. It's there. The light is there, but it's just like it's saying, why is this light shining? You ever done that to your kids? You tell them to get out of bed, they don't get out of bed. You tell them to get out of bed, they don't get out of bed. So what do? You turn the light on. They're like, you know, evil light. Yes. That's what he's saying. Why are you shining the light? We don't want this light. The darkness comprehendeth it not. Remember, this is what he's saying, this idea of light and darkness. And this darkness is not just like, you know, if you were to be in a room that is in darkness and you turned a light on, the darkness is not going to fight the light, right? I mean, once you turn the light on, the light comes on, it's light. There's no more darkness, right? But here, this darkness, this spiritual darkness is actually fighting against the light. As the light is shining, it's fighting, it's trying to push the light back. It's saying, we don't want this light. We don't understand why the light is shining. It fights against the light because the darkness wants to keep men from light. So it resists the light. Again, for thousands of years, God has promised one who would bring light to the world. He promised that deliverer. That's why John begins with the Word. Helping the Jews to understand this is the Mamre of Jehovah, the Word of God that is supposed to be coming. This is the one that the Greeks and the Gentiles were understanding, the one that's behind everything. This is the Word. And now he says, look, not only is he the Word, he's the light, and he's trying to shine in darkness. But the darkness doesn't want anything to do with the light. It's rejecting. The rejection of the light. Notice we find in this, the rejection of the person of Jesus. The light is rejecting the person, or excuse me, the darkness is rejecting the person of Jesus. Notice in verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Imagine that. He is the creator of the world. We've seen that already in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. He's the creator. Again, he says it here in verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He's the creator. He takes on flesh and blood. He comes down to this earth. He's in the world. The world was made by him. But what does it say? And the world knew him not. Here is the Word. Here is the light. Here is the creator right here. And the world doesn't even recognize him. He says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The people he chose to make his own. As he called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees and brought him into the promised land, he said, I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to have your seed as the sand of the seashore and the stars in the sky. And then to Isaac, he gives that same promise. And then to Jacob, and then to his 12 sons, and then to the nation of Israel, and brings them out of Egypt and brings them into the promised land. This was his people, the ones he chose. Not because they were good, but simply because he said, I love you and I want you to be mine. And he came to them, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You see, the darkness, this rejection, they rejected the person of Jesus Christ. Don't they realize that he is the light? This is where I think John is so confused. Jesus is the creator. I mean, he's proved that all throughout his life. You look at the miracles that he did. He had power to take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and multiply and feed thousands of people. Who can do that? He walked on water. Who can do that? I mean, he can take a person that is dead and raise them from the grave. He can take somebody who is blind and heal them. He can take somebody who's lame and raise them up. He can take somebody whose hand is withered and make it whole. Who can do that? Only God can. He can forgive sins. There was no fault found in him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Herod said, I can't find anything wrong with him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they tried to have people bring accusations. They couldn't even get two people to agree on anything that he said wrong. I mean, here is the perfect man. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's proved that he is not just the perfect man, but he is God. And yet, I can just imagine John as he's writing saying, I don't understand how people cannot see this. John knew who he was. He knew that he was the Word. He knew he was the light. He knew he's the Messiah. Why can't people see this? Why would they reject him? His own people, the Jews, rejected him. The world that he created rejected him. How does that happen? I think Paul gives us a little bit to help us understand this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Think about this. Paul is talking about Satan. He's saying the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds. Those that do not believe, he's blinded them. Not only are they in darkness, but now they're blinded. He said he's trying to keep them blinded. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's trying to keep them blinded from the light. He's trying to keep them blinded from Jesus. Satan is doing everything he can to keep people from knowing the truth. He's trying to keep them in darkness so that they will not turn to the light. Everything he can to keep people in darkness. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as he can use it to keep people in darkness, he will. Pleasures. The pleasures of this world. If that's what it takes to keep people in darkness, he'll use it. Fame. Popularity. Wealth. Addictions. Business. Technology. Family. Hobbies. Religion. He'll use anything he can to keep people blind to the truth. You say, Pastor, I can see all those other things, but that last one said religion. Yeah. He'll use religion to keep people blind from the truth. Just because somebody is religious don't mean that they know the truth. Look at the Pharisees. Religious. And yet, what does he tell Nicodemus in just a short time here in chapter 3? Nicodemus comes and says, I don't understand these things. What does Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. What did he call the Pharisees? He says that you're blind leaders of the blind. You're trying to lead people who are blind, but you yourself are blind also. You don't know the truth. You haven't seen the light. That's not a good place to be. Let me tell you something. If you're blind, you don't want a blind person leading you. If you're blind, you want somebody that can see. You want somebody that knows if cars are coming so you can cross the road. You want somebody that can see so that as you pick up that can off the shelf in the supermarket, that you want corn and not baby food. But yet he said they're blind leaders of the blind. They're blind. Friend, it does not matter if you're religious. You can be a member of First Baptist Church and still die and go to hell. Being a member of a church, being religious, giving in the offering, you can tithe, you can give to our missions, you can give to the Nehemiah Project, you can do all types of things, you can be faithful here, you can have a Bible, you can do all those things and still die and go to hell. Because it's not about religion. But Satan will use religion to keep people blinded from the truth, to keep them from the light, the one who offers life. A church can't offer life. An offering plate doesn't offer life. The only one who offers life is Jesus Christ, because he is the light. This is what John is saying, and this is who they rejected. They rejected the person of Jesus Christ. But they also rejected the power of salvation. Notice what he says in verse number 12. In verse 11, he says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. But notice what else they rejected. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They rejected the power of salvation. They rejected that there was only one way to be saved, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, no, we don't, you know, yeah, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you have to do this, 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 and this, and this as well. Oh, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but, you know, that's not it. You've got to be a member of our church. It's okay to believe in Jesus, but if you haven't been baptized, then you're not fully saved. Wait a minute. What did he say here? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He didn't say anything about joining a church, getting baptized. He didn't say anything about doing good. He said, you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you receive him as your Savior, and you become a child of God. Period. But what does the devil do? Again, remember, the darkness is fighting against it. The darkness is saying, no, we don't want that. The darkness is saying, hey, you're good. You're okay. You don't have to do what that old book says. You don't have to listen to that old book. I mean, that's just a book of fairy tales. You don't have to do it that church's way. There's lots of churches out there. Every church has their own way. This whole coexist movement religiously. Oh, everybody's just going their own way. Wait a minute. No, no, no. Jesus said there's one way, and that's through his name. That's it. There's no other way. That's why, again, throughout Scripture, the Bible is very clear. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Jesus. The name is very important. In Matthew, he uses the name Jesus 151 times. Mark, 18 times. Luke, 88 times. But John uses the name of Jesus over 250 times. Because it's only through the name of Jesus. That's why Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The name of Jesus. You see, when the darkness rejects the light, they're not just rejecting the person of Jesus Christ, they're also rejecting the power of salvation. And that power of salvation is through Christ. It's through him. That's why he says, but as many as received him, to them. Praise God, there's a them there, right? That them, that's you and me, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Praise God that he says, but to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise God, there are going to be those who will receive him. Oh, but friend, the darkness is fighting. The darkness is fighting against the light. He says the light is shining, but the darkness is rejecting. But when a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and by the way, it's nothing that you and I do. Look what he says in verse number 13. Just as John tells Nicodemus that you must be born again, he explains here in verse number 13, which were born, this is a spiritual birth, not of blood, it's not physical, nor the will of the flesh, it's not something we can do, nor the will of man, but of God. This is a spiritual birth that only God can do, and God will only do this when a person believes in Jesus Christ and receives him as their personal Savior. There's no other way. But when we do this, then Christ now lives inside of us. And because he is in us and he is the light, he has put his light within us. Why? Why does he put his light within us? Well, because we see thirdly not only the purpose of the light and the rejection of the light, but we see the witness of the light as well. In verse number 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And of course, this John in verse number 6 is John the Baptist, not the Apostle John who's writing, but John the Baptist. It says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You notice how many times he's called the witness? He is a witness. He is a witness. He is a witness. He's a witness of the light. He's a witness of the light. He's a witness of the light to help people come to the light. You see, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. And his desire was for people to come to know Jesus Christ. He was trying to turn people to the light that they might believe in Jesus. It's interesting, John the Baptist was a Nazarite. A Nazarite. There actually, the Bible only tells us of three, what we would say, lifelong Nazarites. In other words, their whole life they were considered a Nazarite. Of course, I've just given you one, John the Baptist. Does anybody know who the other two are? Samson is the other one. Samson is the other Nazarite. Anybody know the third one? That was not here in the morning service. Anybody know the third one? Anybody? The third one was Samuel. Samuel. And if you look, you'll find the Nazarites were, there were special laws that they had to follow even above the laws of Moses. In other words, you had all the laws of Moses as well, but then the Nazarites had to follow other laws as well. One of those laws being they were not to cut their hair, right? Samson wasn't supposed to cut his hair. We find the same thing with John the Baptist. He was kind of a, he was a wild man, right? We would think. I mean, he doesn't cut his hair. Another thing they weren't supposed to do was they were not to touch a dead body. So in other words, even if a family member died, they were not allowed to help carry the body or be near the body. They were not to touch a dead body, no matter who it was. And they were also to abstain from the fruit of the vine, from any contact with the fruit of the vine or grapes, whether it be grapes or juice or wine or anything like that. They were abstained from all of that. And so here John is a Nazarite. John, and I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you, we understand human nature, right? You see this guy coming out of the wilderness. He's never cut his hair. He's got camel skins on, leather belt, and his diet has been locust and wild honey. I dare say he probably looked a little different. Right? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. So here comes John out of the wilderness. And he says, hey, I'm the one that's preparing the way for the coming Messiah. Ta-da! I mean, come on. Let's be honest. You don't think people mocked him? You're the one that's preparing the way for the Messiah? Dude, you don't even know how to dress right. You can't even comb your hair, man. Your hair is so matted. I don't know when do you even have a comb? I mean, camel skin? Locust and wild honey? Come on. But yet as John began to preach, people began to say, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, he looks funny. Maybe even smells a little bit funny. But there's something different about him. There's something different. And the Bible says that from all Jerusalem and all Judea, they would come out and listen to John preach. And what was John preaching? Repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying, hey, the Messiah is coming. The word is coming. The light is coming. You better be ready to turn to him. And so John was willing to look different. He was willing to be different because he knew he had a purpose, and his purpose was to point people to Jesus Christ. There was another witness. Jesus himself was a witness. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 12, then Jesus spake again of them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, look, you're looking for the Messiah. I want you to know I am he. I am the light of the world. In fact, later on in John chapter 9 and verse number 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, you're looking for light. That light is shining. I'm here. That's exactly what he said earlier, what John said. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The light was here to give light and give life. But the world rejected. The darkness comprehended it not. Jesus was a witness as well. Jesus was willing to leave the splendor and glory of heaven as the creator of the universe, as God himself, to leave heaven and to come to this earth to be robed in human flesh for 33 and a half years, to endure the mocking and the ridicule. And then even when he proved who he was, they still rejected him. He went and he died on a rugged cross for those who were spitting on him and laughing at him and cursing him. You want to talk about a step down? I think Jesus stepped way down for us. But you know, there's a third witness. That third witness is you and I. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, ye are the light of the world. You, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh man, that song, as I heard the girls practicing the song that they sang this morning, do they see Jesus in me? I thought, Lord, that song goes so well with the message that I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. Do they see Jesus in me? Why? Because we are to be, you and I are to be a witness for Christ. We are to let the light of Jesus shine through us so that they can see Christ. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they see Jesus in you? You say, well, you know, I'm just, here's the problem. John the Baptist was willing to look different and be different so that others could come to know Christ. Jesus was willing to step way down and humble himself so that people could come to know Jesus as their Savior. You know what our problem is? We aren't willing to do either. Be different. You mean I'm supposed to put on camel's skins and I got to eat locust? No, that's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. We don't want to be different. We want to be like the world. We don't. I mean, if I was different, if I was trying to really tell people about Jesus Christ, I mean, I might offend someone. You don't think John the Baptist and Jesus offended anybody? You know, they might laugh at me. You think? You know, I just got my own plans. I've just got the way that I want to live my life. Well, I'm sure glad Jesus didn't have his own plans and just want to live his life without being willing to humble himself and come down to this earth. You see, we're awful glad somebody else is willing to do that, but we're not willing to do it ourselves. Right? But yet, what does he say? Ye are the light of the world. Remember the little kid song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What's the second verse say? Hide it under a bushel? No. You know the problem with many Christians? We don't want anybody to know. We don't want our light to shine. We don't want people to know we're a Christian. We don't want to talk like a Christian. We don't want to act like a Christian. We don't want to dress like a Christian. I mean, hey, you know what? I'm saved and I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but that's it. That's all I want to do. Wait, can I tell you something? The light is trying to shine in darkness, and the darkness is not comprehending it. The darkness is saying, we don't understand why is the light shining? And you know what Jesus is saying? Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine so that the darkness can see what a difference the light can make in your life. But we don't want it to be seen. We just want to keep hiding it. We don't want my, I don't, I'm not going to let my light be seen. No, he said, ye are the light of the world. Look, Jesus isn't here. He's not physically here on this earth, but what is he doing? He's living his life through us. That's what Galatians 2:20 is all about. Not my life, but his life lived through me so that others can see Christ. This is what John is doing. John says, look, I want my life, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle. I want my life to be lived so that others can see Jesus. He's writing this whole book so that people can know Jesus. He's not writing it so that he can be Mr. Popular. He's not writing it so he'd be like, hey, I got one of my books in the Bible. Woohoo, look at me. John was one of the only apostles who actually saw what they would consider old age. All of the other apostles were martyred. Whether they got their heads cut off, whether they were crucified, they were martyred. Oh man, John must have had it easy. No, John didn't have it easy. He was beaten. He was boiled in oil. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. They did unbelievable things to him because he was just trying to be a witness for Christ. And we're afraid somebody will laugh at us. We're afraid to be the light because it might mess up our plans. I wonder why. The darkness is fighting so hard. Because the darkness knows that if you and I and you 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 and you, if we would all let our light shine, guess what's going to happen? More light is going to be seen. The more light that is seen, it's like when we have the candlelight service here before Christmas. All of the lights are off in the auditorium except for the ones up here. But out here, it's dark. But then what happens? The ushers, they'll have those little lighters and they'll start going and they'll start lighting a candle on the end and then that candle and then people start lighting candles from those candles. And guess what happens? Before long, there's a glow out here. You can see people. You can see who's here. You can see their faces. But if there was just one candle, if there was just one candle in the middle, it'd be very hard to see who all was here. It'd be very hard to see the faces of people. But the more light that begins to shine, the more light that begins to be seen, the more it's able to dispel darkness. Do you understand that Satan wants you to keep your light hidden? He cares nothing about whether you shine it or not. He wants you to have your way, your plans, your life, your desires, because as long as you and I do that, our light is hidden and the light continues to be hidden and darkness continues to win. Darkness wins. He said, oh, but Pastor, I know the end of the book. I know Jesus wins. Yes, he wins. We know he's already conquered death and he's already conquered the grave and he's died for our sins. But look, there are people's souls we are talking about. People in Eaton and in Preble County and in Indiana and Ohio and in Africa that need to know about Jesus Christ. And we just think we can just keep going through life the way we want to do it. Hiding our light doesn't mean a thing. No, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Let your light shine. It's not what I said. That's what Jesus said. Let your light shine so that others may see. Look, I understand not everybody's going to believe. They didn't believe John the Baptist. They didn't believe Jesus himself. Not everybody's going to believe you and I. But I guarantee you this, the more we shine our light, the more opportunity people have to believe and can come to Christ. The question is will we let it shine? Will we let our light shine? Will we just keep it hidden? And let the darkness continue to keep people blinded from the truth? John said, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I'm thankful that Jesus is the light. And I'm thankful that through him I have life. Amen? Amen. Oh, my friends, there are so many that do not have life. There are so many that are still lost in darkness. And they don't understand what the light is all about. And we have an opportunity to be the light of the world and to let our light shine before men that they can see Jesus, that they can see what Jesus can do in their life, just like what Jesus did in our life. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would work through our hearts this morning. Lord, may we truly recognize that you are the light. And Lord, if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, then you're living in us. Your light is in us. And you want that light to be seen. Lord, you've commanded us to let our light shine. Lord, may we think about John the Baptist. May we be willing to be different. I'm not talking about the camel skins and the long hair, but Lord, be willing to be different. Maybe we be willing to humble ourselves as Jesus did. Not our plans. Not my will, your son said, but thy will be done. Lord, may we stand together as a body of believers. And as each of us will allow our light to shine, it can shine so much brighter as a group than as one single individual. Father, would you help us to realize the potential that we have as a body of believers? Lord, Satan's going to do everything he can to keep us to keep our light hidden. May we not yield to him, but may we yield to Jesus Christ and be the light that you've called us to be. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. It doesn't matter if you're religious. It doesn't matter if you think you're a good person. There's only one way to be saved from our sins. There's only one way to be saved from the judgment and the punishment of our sins, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can be a member of First Baptist Church, and that doesn't mean anything. Maybe there's someone today, you're still in darkness. And you know you're in darkness. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you. You need to respond to the light. You need to leave that darkness behind and turn to Jesus Christ. Friend, today's the day you can do that. The darkness has nothing to offer but death. Jesus, the light of the world, offers life. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're watching via live stream, and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I died, I'm not sure where I would go. Pastor, would you pray for me? You slip your hand up and put it right back down. Nobody's looking about. Nobody's going to come to you. Not going to call you out. Just want to pray for you this morning. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. And Christian, may I ask, are you being the light that God wants you to be? Are you willing to put your plans to the side, your desires to the side, to be what Christ wants you to be the light of the world, so that others can see Christ? Do they see Jesus in me and in you? Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, help us to realize how important it is that we are the light of the world that you called us to be, and that we would let our light shine, that others might see Christ, not us, but that they might see Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand to our feet.